past 3 on a Thursday afternoon. And as I indicated to you earlier in the show, former councillor for Ward 6, Tammy Colley, because she's moving on to the provincial legislature now. But Tammy's with me in the studio right now to talk about yesterday's elections. Welcome. Nice to have you. Thanks for coming. I know it was very short notice, but, you know, this is wonderful.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, Dave. And so, greetings to your listeners of Radio Life and Style.
Your listeners too.
Indeed.
Okay, so you're off to the provincial legislature now, which is marvellous. And in your place comes a candidate who is going through a little bit of investiture and, I suppose, training. So he's not here to talk on behalf of the ward or yesterday's elections. But thank you for coming. I wanted to ask you, let's just unpack the figures. It looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the figures that I have is that there were 1,364 votes cast for the ANC candidate Ayabong Azwane.
That would be the DA candidate, Dave. Ah,
the DA candidate.
I hate
Thank you. Thank you very much. My head was racing ahead to the next line, which is 18 candidates for the ANC candidate Silindile Ngcobo. So it would appear that the ANC candidate, well, you know, there was I don't think ever really much threat to the Democratic Alliance in Ward 6. It's a very safe, traditionally Democratic Alliance seat. But what I wanted to talk to you about was the turnout, because a couple of things struck me. Firstly, I did a very snap survey here. Yesterday we had a very packed studio of folk. And it amazed me that so many had no clue that there was an election on. And I thought, what are you talking about? They just did not know. And you fielded quite a lot of confusion because people that were outside of Ward 6 were pitching up to vote or phoning to find out what's going on. Why do you think that the communication was so... Well, if I say it was poor, we'll argue the fact that it wasn't. But certainly it seems that so few people got the message.
You're 100% right, Dave. And it is a challenge, and we've got to acknowledge it. It doesn't matter how we advertise things. I mean, you were kind enough to have our candidate on your radio show just a couple of days prior. You know, the posters are all up all over the town. It's gone, you know, the by-elections have been advertised on various social media platforms. It's not a problem specific to Ballito. It is a problem that happens throughout South Africa when it comes to by-elections.
Do you think that people are now just tired of the political process and possibly no longer, I hate to even suggest this, but no longer believe that the political process is delivering what they have been waiting for so long?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think people are very much far more engaged. And that's why we had that bit of a panic when I sent you that voice note saying, please just clarify where the okay. by-election is. Because people were desperate to come out and vote from Ward 22, from Ward 30. People wanted to vote. They were like saying, when's it our turn?
Ward 6?
No, Ward 6 as well. I think we've discussed it briefly about the turnout. And it was a good turnout for a by-election.
See, 30%, I recently wrote an exam at Home Affairs, and I got 69%, which I disputed like crazy because I know I did better than that. But they demand a 75%. I mean, and you no doubt have passed several academic tests in your life, and you know that in our education department, yeah, I think 40% is considered a pass now. But at higher level, 75%. So 30% at anything is really, really poor. I mean, that's clearly, if that's the engagement numbers, then are we apathetic as a nation? Why? What's happening?
I think there are a number of things. I think we saw in the last elections, there was a very low voter turnout in the last elections, and that did signal that there had been a loss of confidence in our political system across various different political parties. I'm not going to name any one of them. But I think what we've seen since then is a great deal more excitement of where we are standing in South Africa now politically, with political parties being forced to work together and get things done for the people of KZN and South Africa.
You're going to the KZN legislature, so I'm going to use the opportunity just to run this thing by you. I recently heard a discussion on BizNews where Rob Herzog was, who's very outspoken on these matters, his claim was that it's now time that KZN, where there's been talk of secession and independence for an awfully long time historically, should be allowed to secede and to become independent, because that then will remove the MK threat from the rest of the country. I know it sounds a bit ludicrous, but having unpacked that premise is kind of right, because it is true to say that the majority of the MK voters are in KZN. They weren't representative here in Ward 6 at all, which is interesting. I don't know why that would be, and you know, but clearly they weren't prepared to stand against the Democratic Alliance. But how does the notion of an independent KZN sound politically to you?
So it's something that the DA doesn't stand for at all. There has been a move down in the Western Cape to make the Western Cape a standalone, and the DA doesn't stand behind that. Oh. We are a party that is behind the Constitution 100%, and the Constitution states that this is a Republic of South Africa. It's not the Republic of KZN,
yeah.
As much as certain people may want it to be like that, and that was something that MK was pushing. So, we're not on that page.
It's very interesting to see that. Although constantly in the mainstream media there are scare stories about the government of national unity under enormous threat because, well, Steenhuisen has signed a document. He's brought in a controversial character as his spokesperson or his whatever that role is that is in the set at the moment. There are all sorts of, and yet Frans Cronje, who's been pretty on the money in terms of his political astuteness, says this is absolutely false. The current situation is rock solid and set to deliver great things for the future. What is your view?
Look, Dave, I believe in that. I really and truly believe in it. And it's something that I've seen in the legislature now, where we have got our MECs. So I'm not sure if you've been following it or not, but we've got two DA MECs. And then what you'll have underneath them is you'll have chairpersons of those particular portfolios, which are from an opposition party. And there does seem to be a far more willingness to engage across political lines and ideologies. And it's very interesting. In one of the strat sessions that we did about 2 weeks ago, we had a lady who is a doctor, and obviously not a medical doctor, and she is in the office of the Premier. And she gave this presentation saying at the beginning of every term, they'll go through all the political parties' manifestos, which they did, and everybody wants the same thing. It's how you get to it and making sure that your processes are correct and that you are actually delivering exactly what the people of KZN or South Africa, whichever the case may be, are wanting.
What is that?
We all want good education. We all want good health. We all want safe communities. We all want clean water. Those are the things that South Africans actually want. Security, being able to have a job, all of that kind of stuff.
I heard figures this morning that were astonishing. The number of people being murdered in South Africa on a daily basis now is sort of indicative of a war zone. It was truly staggering, the figures that have emerged of late. Clearly, the situation has reached a point where it cannot continue. Change is coming. We are hopeful for that. We desperately need it. On the positive side, it looks like the investment fraternity has already discounted what has been and is already making strides towards what is coming. I got some fantastic insights this morning as to really what's happening. I believe the trade port here, for example, is about to explode. It's a sort of tax-free zone. And if you're an exporter, you've got to be there because government's matching rand for rand and giving all sorts of brilliant concessions. It's about to, as a retirement destination for the expat community, international, It's absolutely shining. It looks fantastic. Getting back to Bolito, we seem to be poised for really exciting things. The candidate that was delivered up for election, Aya Bonga, who you quite rightly said was interviewed on this show a week ago, he seems to be a good fella, but with no experience at all in anything.
So I don't want to comment about his experience across different, you know, where he's worked or whatever the case may be. But, you know, when you get involved in politics, and I can speak for myself, it is quite intimidating because you are taken out of your comfort zone. And I really do remember my very first interview with you. I think I was contesting local government elections in 2016. And I was going up against a guy called Rigby Heenan, who had been on the political scene for many, many, many years. And it is intimidating. And and politics is something that you, especially local government, it's something that you learn every single day. And it's just ongoing. And I think that Aya Bonga has a very good head on his shoulders, and he will be able to be nurtured and to able to serve the people of Ward 6 very well.
Well, here's hoping. And congratulations to the Democratic Alliance. It was a startling result. I mean, 98% is incredible in anyone's copybook. You said the turnout was acceptable at 30%. I'm a little dismayed by that, because one would hope for a more representative figure, because essentially 70% of the electorate didn't vote.
Sure, but in the last provincial and national elections, I think the turnout there was just over 60% for the country.
Yeah.
So, and that's always, you're always going to have a higher turnout at a national and provincial elections than a by-election.
Yeah, sure, but 60% is a little bit more, you know, respectable. Mm. You can say that the majority of people in a particular voted, and then, you know, the results, the cards fall where they lay. At 30%, it's pretty tough to say, you know, it would indicate clearly a lot of folk that simply said, we're not part of this process for whatever reason. So it's a tough, I would imagine, it's going to be tough to bring that 70 missing percent on board into the process, because you need that support going forward. You need to galvanize the community behind your initiatives as a party. And it's going to be quite a tough call. A young Aya Bonga is going to have his job cut out for him. We will watch with interest. As I say, there's an open channel of communication, and I'd encourage all to use the channel to get the message across, whatever the message might be. And I thank you for coming in. You've always been willing to come in and chat. I know sometimes I've given you a little bit of a hard time, but you know, this is the world we live in, and it's important, I think, to ask the questions and to get the answers. So in parting, because this is kind of goodbye for the time being, what is your reflective view of the past couple of years as ward councillor?
So, Dave, I have loved being the ward councillor for Ward 6. I have met so many amazing people and stakeholders. It doesn't matter if they're NGOs, businesses, community groups, or whoever they are. Bolito is a very, very, very special place. I've said it to you before. I don't know if it was during the floods or the riots. When you call on Bolito, they get behind something. We've done it behind the Nasna fires. We did it when we had the July unrest. We've done it for various different animal shelters, collecting food. We did it for Tonga tornado victims. Bolito is a really, really special place. And it's not goodbye, because I live here.
Aha. Uh-huh. Just not too engaged in the political process. But we're working on that.
Well, you never know. Local government elections is not so far away. We're going to be campaigning to take over Kwadakuza municipality.
Well, you know, here is the thing. I look forward. We watch this space anxiously and earnestly, and encourage participation tremendously going forward, because ultimately, you're quite right. I think all of us want a better future for everyone. And wouldn't that just be marvelous if it was delivered in 2020? When is the next election?
2026, not so far away.
Looking forward to that. My very special guest, Tammy Colley, moving on to greater things politically. Don't forget us when you're up in the lofty heights of provincial legislature.
Never.
Stay close.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Dave.
Thanks for joining me. And the afternoon show continues.